liftoff of Space Shuttle Columbia with the multitude of national and international space research experiments.
Houston now controlling the flight of Columbia, the international research mission finally underway.
Space Shuttle Columbia was the first space-worthy space shuttle in NASA's fleet. Its first mission was on April the 12th, 1981. And after 27 successful missions, Columbia launched again on January the 16th, 2003. But during launch, there was a problem, a big problem. A piece of foam the size of a briefcase broke loose, striking the left wing on the shuttle and damaging the shuttle's thermal protection system. The engineers suspected damage but decided there wasn't anything that could be done. The crew was doomed from liftoff. After a 16-day trip through space and exploration, the crew returned to Earth. And on February the 1st, 2003, while coming across the skies over Texas at 12,500 miles an hour, re-entering the Earth's atmosphere, the Columbia disintegrated, killing all seven crew members aboard. The awful truth is that the crew was doomed from the start of the mission. However, they each died doing exactly what they loved to do and what they wanted to do. The truth to you and me is that we are all doomed from liftoff. The day of our births start the countdown running down to the day we cease to live on this earth. The question is, will you die doing what you really love and want to do? Or will you just die? Today, let's talk about another way the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy life from you.
You've ever been on an airplane, so it is very dynamic, and if you lose your orientation in space, the pilot's on you.
So how will you do it? Will you leave anything that really matters, or will you just let the thief come and steal all of your life from you? And that's what we're going to be kind of talking about today, getting to get a little better idea of how the thief does come and take our life from us and steal it. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy." Jesus says, please get this, the thief's coming. The thief comes. He's going to come. Please get this, he says. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy your life. I come that you might have life, and that you might, you don't have to, but you might have it abundantly. He's coming so that that thief can be stopped. And, you know, when you're thinking about this, and what would you do if you woke up in the middle of the night and there was a thief, a burglar in your home? Would you be terrified? Of course, call 911, you'd do something, grab your pistol, do something. But it would throw you into a state of shock. You would have a reaction to it, you know. What would you do if they took your valuables? A couple of months ago, Judy and I went home from church. And we go into our house like we always do and went in and I went in and I noticed the closet was open. And I said, well, that's strange. I wonder what she was doing in there. And then she went on upstairs and she called back down to me and she says, Delbert, you better get up here. We've been robbed. And I went up, and sure enough, a thief or thieves had come into our home and just ransacked our whole house and taken our valuables, valuables that money could not replace, couldn't replace some of those things. Insurance really could replace it, but it couldn't replace what those things really, really meant to us. You know, and every time I think about that, I curse those people. And that's what a lot of Christ followers do. You know, we curse the devil. We curse the enemy. We curse the thief. But, you know, my cursing those people will never get me back what they took. Most likely, I will never, ever get those things back. Yet we go through life like this, and Jesus says, please be aware. Please get ready. See, what I'm doing now, I've had deadbolts on my doors. I just didn't use them. But now I've got deadbolts on my doors to close my garage doors, and I put in a burglar alarm. But this is after the fact. And a lot of times through life, we wake up to the thief coming and taking from us and stealing, killing, and destroying our lives from us after the fact. It's too late. So a lot of what I've been saying over the past couple of weeks, I know I'm wanting to really get to you younger guys. You know, stop him now. Be aware now. You can redeem so much more of your life right now if you'll just heed to some of these principles that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. Now, we're doing our series, of course, on Get a Life, and that Jesus says, I come that you might get a life. We've been doing the series on it, and we've been talking about how the thief comes and takes from us. We've been asking these questions through the series, you know, why am I here, what am I good at doing, and these kinds of things. And so last week we began asking the question, what do I need to learn? And we saw that last week the first thing that we need to learn to stop the thief from coming and stealing life from us is to unlearn a lot of the things that we've learned in our past. We need to have the ability to unlearn. We need to unlearn some bad attitudes of life. We need to unlearn some negative emotional responses. You know, the emotion of anger is not bad. It's the response to the emotion of anger that's bad. We talked about that last week. We talked about how that things come down the pipe from generation to generation, and that we need to learn to unlearn our family of origin, the things that originated in us that are negatives from our families. And I want to continue that theme today and next week, actually. And I want to talk about this. I want to talk about some things that we need to learn, and of course you got to blend into it unlearning along with it. But anyway, I want to talk about this one today. And so if you're taking notes on the back of your gateway, you got some places to fill in. Here would be your first one, number one, which would actually be number two, the things you need to unlearn. I'm just doing this for the note's sake. Learn resource management. You need to learn to manage the resources that God's given us. See, I'm convinced that when God created us, and we're going to talk about more of this morning in a moment, but when God created us, He created us with every ability, raw talent, every ability that we would need to acquire, anything that we would need to accomplish the goal for which we were created. I believe that. I believe that. I think it would be dumb for God to create a guy to be a brain surgeon and not give him the brain to do it. The ability, the talents, the resources to accomplish being a brain surgeon. So I believe that. And I believe that we misuse these things. We don't understand them. So I want to read you this scripture. It's in Psalms chapter 139 and verse 14. It says this, "Thank you for making me." You're an individual. You are a me. You are an individual. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. I want to show you, you're not an assembly line product. You're a very complex individual, making me so wonderfully complex. Now, the King James Version says, fearfully and wonderfully made. Your workmanship is marvelous. In other words, I'm a piece of work, and I'm learning that. And you say, you sure are. We all are complex pieces of work from God. And how well I know that. See, David had learned that. I don't think we ever really learned that. There's something about us that's very, very special. We're just not come off of the assembly line. He goes on and he says, "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion." I am not off the assembly line. I am so special. God didn't want anybody else to see the plan for making me. And he took me along in a secluded place and formed me. And that's what he did with each of us. There's not a mold for you. You broke it. There's not a mold for any of us. We have our own ways, our own complexities. And he says, "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb." God's made you wonderfully complex. You are an individual. Here's the problem, though, in life, is that we don't really believe that or understand that. And then because of that, number two, the reason that we don't stop the enemy from coming and taking from our life is that because we don't understand it and we don't believe it, then we squander the resources given us. We go through life never developing the talents and abilities and things. And particularly what we're talking about today, we never take advantage of the time for which we're given. Time, and here's another fill-in for you if you're taking notes with me, time is one of the biggest misuses of the resources God gives us. One of the biggest misuses of the resources God gives us to stop the thief is how we handle the amazing resource of time. Time. We don't appreciate time. Do you know that there are 699 verses in the King James Version Bible that references time or times? That's only over 700 times that it's used in the scriptures. And God's big on time. I mean, man, this is important. When the Lord mentions and uses something that much, Jesus was very aware of time. He lived his life according to time. He was probably the ultimate day planner. I mean, when you think about it, he lived it according to time. And when you look at Matthew chapter 26 and verse 18, it says this, "And he," Jesus, "said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. Now, he had this plan three years at least in advance. He knew 3 years from ahead of this time that he was going to be here this day. He said, tell him, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. Jesus was extremely aware of time. He took time and he took the most advantage of time. He was a time manager. And you and I have got to learn, if we're ever going to experience a great life and have the abundant life that God wants us to have, we're going to have to learn to manage time. Now, how many of you have ever said something like this? The time just got away from me. Ever said anything like that? Or how about this one? You say, we're just wasting time. Anybody say that? What you just admitted was that you just wasted a part of your life. A part of your life just got away from you. Where'd it go? Who got it? Psalms 90, verse 10, very insightful, says this. 70 years are given to us. How many? Not a trick question. How many? 70. Some may even reach 80. Now, I'm aware that we have people in our congregation today who have passed that. Hallelujah. But for the most part, this is very relative and relevant. But even the best of these years are filled with pain and trouble. The thief comes. Now watch this. Soon they, the years, disappear. And conjunction, we are gone. King James Bible says we fly away. Soon they, the years, are gone. And we, conjunction with years, are gone. Soon the years disappear and we are gone. Now I want you to get that conjunction there. So you are linked in God's mind with time. Time and you are not separated. You have a slot of time. You are given a slot of time. It's your time. It's nobody else's time. It's for you to spend. You're given so much time. I want to do something with us. And I want you to kind of work with me on this. I want you to see your life as a stack of $1 bills, 80 of them, 80 years. And each dollar bill represents a year of your life. And what I've done to help speed up the process is I've divided these into sections. I've got five sections of 15. And I got one section of five. What did you do, for example, what have you spent your money, your years so far? For example, what did you do with your first 15 years? Now, when you think about it like this. When you think about it, you didn't have a whole lot to say about how that was spent. Somebody spent that for you. Hopefully it was spent well. It kind of shows us the importance of parenting. You get to spend your child's life. What did you do with it? What did they do with your 15 years? Your parents, your guides, your teachers, your counselors. What did they do with it? I hope it was spent well, because it was to prepare you for your future. You're just getting started in life. And those were very, very, very important years. You can learn so much. But how many of us would want to say, man, I wish I could go back and get those years back? But one of my biggest regrets in life is how poorly I spent those years. I could have learned so much. God gave me a great mind. But I think in those years I missed something that I could have learned. I could have applied and made my future better. And so I look back at those years and I'm thinking, you know, some of that time was just wasted. Just gone. So how much maybe did I get in my scenario? How much of that did I get and how much of it did I lose? And I'm thinking about, you know, maybe, so let's say I got five of those 15. I got five of those. And so that's 10 of my years I lost. Where'd it go? Who got it? You're getting it, right? The thief comes, Jesus says, please get this, he says. Please understand, the thief's coming. He's coming to every single person, man, woman, boy, girl, whoever. The thief is coming, and he's coming to steal your life. And so I end up with five, and the thief comes out with 10. Let me read you this scripture. It's in James chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, whereas we know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Isn't that a powerful question? What is your life? He says this, it is even a vapor, smoke, mist, that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Wow. And so, my years, my time, it goes up in smoke. Martha, he really ain't going to burn that money, is he? He burned a lot more than money. There's your years. There's your life. It's but a vapor. It's gone. You can't get it back. Valuable. Forever gone. I'm very aware that some of us have some bronchial problems and situations. And if I burned this whole stack that I'm going to do something with here, we'd be all coughing and gagging. So I'm going to shred the rest of it. But I want us to get the idea. It vanisheth away. It's gone. Stolen. And who got it now? Thief got it. Let's go on with another one. Let's do another 15-year bracket. Let's do ages 16 through 30. Now, this is the age that we're all convinced that our parents are absolute idiots. The only possible reason they're on the planet is to support me and to give me cars and clothes and money. Right? I was convinced my parents were ignorant. They were out of the loop. They were disconnected. They didn't understand. But after I got past this bracket, sometimes in my 30s, I realized that I was the idiot. Hello, anybody with me? Yeah. They're pretty smart, come to think about it. But here's the amazing part now. Now think with me. It's in this bracket, this time frame, that we make, in our idiot years, that we make the hugest decisions of our lives. We decide who we're going to marry and attempt to spend the rest of our lives with. We are idiots having children. Trying to decide what educational level we want or what we're going to do after we get out of school and have a job. What are we going to do with our lives as far as getting money and so forth? What are we going to do? We decide our political agendas. We decide what religion we're going to do. We make huge decisions. We spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. On what? Next week we're going to talk about that a little bit. We waste so much of that time. How'd you do in that time frame? Do you look back at it and it's a vapor? It vanisheth away, it's gone. Did you marry the right spouse? Or was that time wasted? Did you get the right kids? Kidding, kidding, kidding. I'm just making a joke. A lot of it has to do with getting the right spouse. Well, we won't go there. But. What did you do with the time? What about your occupation? Did you get the right one? Did you get enough school education? What did you do with those years? There are idiot years. And what do we do with them? And so I'm looking at mine, and I'm trying to, again, use my scenario. How much did I get from that year, from those times? And what did the enemy come and steal from me? And again, I come out with like five. And I'm not a dumb guy, you know? But here I am with five, and the enemy ends up with 10 years of my life. Martha, I just don't believe he's shredding that money like that. Some of you are saying, preacher, I could go out to eat on that today. It's gone. The enemy took it. Vanished, gone, shredded. Let's do another. 15. Ages 31 to 45. They're interesting. We should be getting wiser. But you know what? I wonder sometimes, you know, about folks. Some people do some of the stupidest things. You know, you should know better than this by now. But you know, at the same time, I look at life, and to me especially, it was a time in my life where it seemed like God could get in easier. I think I came to the conclusion that I really didn't have a lot of answers. Not real ones. And so somehow it was in that period of time that I really decided to follow Jesus. And I want to make a big point here, because I began to save more of my life. And he said, I come so that you might be saved, right? And so I began to see this as I began to go through my scenario here and looking at my life in this dimension. And so I was looking at it. You know, it was in those years that I learned my life's mission and what I was supposed to do in life. I got more education. I prepared myself. I changed occupations. Yeah, I got the wrong occupation in my first dumb years. But then as I come into this year, I changed occupations and I found out what I'm supposed to really be doing in my life. And God began to speak to me more, and I began to study His Word, and I began to really get some real answers and some truth. Through Jesus in my life began to be saved. But I still look back at it, and they were still wasted years. But I did better. And so I think in those particular years, you know, I got 10. And the enemy got 5. So I did better. It wasn't because I'm so smart, it's because Jesus got in my life. And so here we go. Gone. 5 more years of my life. Vaporized. Vanished away. Shredded. Can't get it back. Martha, I just don't believe that boy's burning that money. Let's do another segment. I want you to notice now, ain't got a lot left here. Let's look at another segment. How about the years of 40, you know, 40, what would I be? 45, 46 through 60. Something happens to us in this time. There's like an awakening. You know, maybe a parent died or parents die. Maybe a close friend dies. I had a cousin who died at this. And this is a guy, we swung on branches across creeks and smoked cigarettes in the woods and, you know, just did kid stuff. He dropped dead of a heart attack. Those things shake you and begin to awaken you. And you begin to slowly realize that about half your stack's gone. Your children are growing up. Maybe they're going in college now. And it's in these years you either begin to feel successful or not so successful. And maybe you start having grandchildren, and that's a rude awakening right there as to how time really does march on, with or without you. We go through what's called the midlife crisis. Everybody ever heard of that? Everybody experienced that, huh? Have you ever? I've seen some very smart people do some very dumb things in this period of time. Midlife crisis. And we say things like, where did the time go? Where did it go? Who got it? And more money goes away. Years begin to seem like months, and it just starts flying. more of the stack is gone. So evaluating my scenario, again, I did better. I did much, much better. So again, I think, you know, I got 10 and the enemy got 5. My grinder here is getting a little wore out with eating up my ears. Did you notice it? And you know, and so we're looking at our lives now, and you know, man, look at this. Let's do another one. 46 through 60. Wait a minute, have I already done that one? Well, nah. Okay, we're getting the point. I don't have to recap. You look at your stack, you know, and you know, it's like you do with when you really got working with $80, and you start pinching it a little tighter because you see that there's not but 20 left. You start having these medical procedures. your enemies become different things, you know. You get new enemies like wrinkles. You know, like age spots. Where did that come from? You just look in the mirror one day. You know, you start wrestling with different things, aches and pains, and, you know, these have new enemies, weight gain. You know, you start struggling with your weight, and these words start flipping around in your head, you know, retirement. It dawns on you, I'm getting old. Start saying, I should have. I should have spent more time with mama. I should have spent more time with daddy. I wish my kids would come see me more. I wish my kids hadn't moved away. And now, you know, you come into a time where I'm not speaking out of experience. I'm at this moment in my life, but I watch it happen all the time to people, and it's either like one of two things happening. Either they take full advantage of the time, and they take it, and they'll go visit, they travel, and they experience, and they go to this one place to retire, and they just really enjoy those years. Or it's the other extreme, which I see most often. They just start sitting and stop learning and start dying. And it's a sad, sad thing to watch, you know? And they're just wasting away those years. Retirement. Retirement, the word starts floating around in your head, and you say, oh my goodness, you know? And so you look at it, and how much of it are you getting? And as I look at the lives of people, it's like they get 5, and again, the enemy gets 10. Now you're left. 5. One day, every person in here is going to be left with 5. And then 4. And then 3. And 2. Only $1, 1 year left. Finally. The years, as the Bible says, go away. Disappear. What did you do with it? What's left? What did you do with that time? Did you spend that time doing what you really wanted to do? What did you do with it? You hand some life out, some of your time out every day at the checkout of life. What have you got to show for it? What will you have to show for it? And maybe a better question to ask you today is, what will you do with what you have left? Jesus says, I want to help you. If I can help you, I can help this thief not from taking it and from you to get it, you having it and you using it. And so What do you do? So I want to challenge you with this particular thought here. That as I look at Jesus and I look at people that really are well managers of time, I think about this. If you could spend a year of your time doing anything that you needed to do to accomplish your life's mission, what would you do? What would you do if you could spend a year doing it? I say I can kind of program a day or a week maybe, and sometimes I'm thinking about it. But when I read a book and the book proposed that question to me, what would you do with a year? Could you plan a year to accomplish your life's goal and your life's mission? I want to September by the next year September this time I want to have accomplished this. Jesus says I want to be here 3 years from today eating Passover with my guys and I'm going to die the next day. He did that. That's the way he did life. He planned it that well. Matthew 26:18. We've already read it once. Let's read it again. And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. He knew exactly what he would be doing 3 years from that day back. My time's here. It's time. People use day planners, you know, and they can tell you what they're going to be doing next week or next month. But what if we did a year planner? What if you went home today and you said, by this time next year, I'm going to have this much money in the bank. By this time next year, I'm going to have accomplished this in my life. By this time next year, I will have had one more year of education under my belt. By this time next year, I'm going to be at this place in my life. What if you did that? But what about a life planner? What if you were smart enough to look at your life and plan it out? 10 years from now, here's where I'm going to be. Here's what I'm going to be doing. Here's my goal for 10 years. 15 years from now. Until we learn to operate in that capacity, we're just going to stand at the checkout of life every day and hand out our life. And I want to kind of close. Let me give you these questions and then I'll close. At the end of every thought, I try to give you questions to maybe go home with and ponder. And so here you go. Do you take the best advantage of the time given you? Do you? Only you know. Where are you spending most of your time? If you look at your stack, where's most of it going? Do you spend your time to accomplish your life's dream, or does it vaporize? Where's your life dream going? Up in smoke? It's all hooked up to time. How much time did the thief take from you last week? You should be able to look at that. How about last month or last year? Or how about yesterday? How much of your dollar did he get? Do you take control of your time, or do circumstances and people control your time? Does the enemy send people and circumstances into your life to steal your time? Or do you manage it? And here's a big one. How much of your time does God get? I could go off here. I could talk about the tithe, a little over 2 hours a day. And most of us would have to bow our heads. Until we learn to better manage our time, until we learn how to handle our time, we're never going to have the abundant life. And so what Jesus is wanting us all to hear today is, what are you doing with your time? And I want to close with this particular thought, and I wished I could make this point better. I wish there was some way I could really emphasize and get this point across to you. Because you see, what the things that that you leave after you're gone, whatever that's left after you're gone, is going to be directly connected with what you did with your time. Out of my big stack, here's what's left. Whatever I leave for the kingdom, whatever I leave for my children, whatever I leave for my grandchildren and generations to come, is all connected back to what I did with my time. Other than that, it's just vaporized. It's time. Let's pray. Jesus, you came to help us with our time. You came to help us have a life. Not a one that's been stolen from us, but one that we have abundantly, that we live to the full. Not one vaporized and vanished away, but something that leaves and means something. So, Father, I pray for each of us today that you've spoken to our hearts and to our spirits and not just our knowledge. We just didn't see a cute illustration. If that's you and you'd say, Delbert, man, the enemy has stolen so much time from me. And I really want to redeem it now. I really want to stop it. I want Jesus to come in and really help me. I want to pray and ask him to show me ways of better managing my time. And I'm really going to begin to work on this. I really want to make that commitment to the Lord. If that's you, would you raise your hand and just let's all pray together. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I see hands everywhere. Lord, thank you. Thank you for helping us see this. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'll be so much more aware of our time slot. And we'll count the time, and we'll do our time management, and where we want to be next year or next month or 5 years from now. Father, I would ask you now in Jesus' name to open this up to us and not let this be a lesson that we heard at the church. But maybe it'll be something we make applicable into our lives. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Now listen, if you're not a Christ follower, if you've gotten away from Jesus, or maybe you've never received him as your Lord and Savior, listen, what's happening to you is the enemy has come and is taking away your life. He is stealing your life. He's taken it. There's nothing there. There's nothing left. And Jesus says, the only way, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the only way that can stop. Your only hope is Jesus. You need him in your life. If that's you, and you would say today boldly and proudly, I want Jesus in my life in a greater dimension. I want him to be my Lord and my Savior, to forgive my past and help me establish my future. I want that in my life. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you right where you're sitting. Would you raise your hand right now? I see your hand right there. Right there. Any others? Any others? See your hand back there. Any others? Keep it up for me, please. Any others? Any others? See your hand?